Coming to you from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studio, this is Carl and Crew Mornings.
How do you know Allie's embarrassed?
Her face gets red.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
She laughs a little. I do. I have a nervous laugh, an embarrassed sort of laugh.
That's some truth to that.
What else? Have you spotted something that I do that's...
No, I know what causes embarrassment. When your stomach's grinding like it's spitting out, I don't know, widgets.
Oh, man.
Like,
wow. Yesterday, my stomach growled so loud during the show, I felt bad because it actually distracted you.
I had my headset on, and I could hear the growl of her stomach some good feet away from me.
Oh, man. It was loud.
But this is how I know she's embarrassed, because she sat up she held her tummy.
Like, stop, be quiet. He's sharing something serious.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's...
It was pretty funny.
It gets embarrassing. Why do we get embarrassed with our stomach growls?
We shouldn't. It's involuntary. I mean, there's nothing we have to control that.
Right.
Gas, on the other hand, is another
issue. I knew it was coming. I knew you were going to say that.
No, you did not.
I don't know if we need to continue because if we start talking about involuntary body noises.
Well, I mean, there's some things. But even that world can be involuntary. I mean, that isn't always the person's fault.
No, but it's still embarrassing.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, it's the worst thing on the planet. I don't know that there's anything more embarrassing in the world. Period.
Okay. Moving on.
We're going to open phone lines and take it.
No, we're not. What's more embarrassing than that?
No. I would love it if I knew the rapture was coming in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I would. Well, we probably wouldn't waste our time on this.
No.
But if we could, and God gave us a special dispensation, said, all that I'm bringing in have been brought in, go ahead. answering the question, what's the most embarrassing gas story you have? I mean, that would be outstanding.
Definitely
you have to admit. No, do not
our
call
it. Our phone lines are not open for that.
Man. What would you do? Uh-oh. Okay. No, this is a good... I like that what Carl brought up here.
Don't call in because I'm not letting any of this leak out.
No.
Absolutely.
Not any of it leaking out.
Yeah, really? You're going to...
Okay.
Yeah. What were you saying now?
I was going to say, if God came to you and said, listen, I've gathered all I'm going to gather and the rapture is in an hour. You have 1 hour to do what you're going to do.
Word.
What do you do?
But do you stay... Are we on air?
What? You could stay on air, but again, everyone is gathered who's going to be gathered. So you could just straight up leave.
Oh, my word. What would I do? I think if I've got the power of the mic, I think I'd call an hour of the most extraordinary praise and worship ever. I think I'd ask people to roll down the windows of their cars, no matter how cold it is outside, and to stand outside and to shout from the top of your lungs the praises of God.
That's good stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'd go in a full hour praise and worship service. And I'd call my wife and I'd say, baby, stay on the phone with me while we go into this.
Yeah. Man.
I think that sounds good.
That's not a bad idea, is it?
My answer is like, going as fast as I can on the highway. Like that. like your answer is way better than mine.
Young Thunder.
Yeah.
I know.
Don't denigrate yourself. You'd have a way better. You wouldn't go out and go speeding.
No.
I might.
No, you wouldn't. No. I know what he'd do.
I know him better than that,
too.
It's like, no, he wouldn't.
He'd go to a Chick-fil-A and get a last little rub-a-dub-dub.
That's true. This is the last time in eternity I can have Chick-fil-A.
That's assuming that there won't be Chick-fil-A.
Oh, no. God says clearly there won't be that up there.
Truett Cathy's up there cooking it for me right now. He's saving me a plate.
Truett Cathy's like, oh, that's the recipe you wanted me to follow. Okay.
It's too funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Speaking of stomachs turning, mine's rolling already this morning.
Oh, wow.
What's going on? Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, listen, guys, coming up here, we're talking about how do you know that you are a disciple? I want to recap yesterday. That's coming up straight ahead because we're going to walk through these. They aren't a progression. There's no time sequence to these. There's no sequential order, but there is a high level of importance on all four of these. I can't wait till we get to ours today. But first off, let's recap yesterday. If you weren't here, perfect. If you were here, we always need a reminder. That's coming up.
Get more from your morning show. Check us out on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, guys, we're talking how do you know all week long? How do you know you're a disciple of Jesus? Yesterday, we had a great day, and I want to recap this. If you weren't here with us, man, that's why this recap is... We're going to do it all week long. So we got a little bit of time to nail this. Allie, I want you to take it away and explain with the help of the team here, what in the world was Jesus saying here in Mark 8?
Mark 8:34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So the first one we covered yesterday, how do you know what a disciple of Christ really looks like? Deny self. Self-denial. We broke this down. This is not what you might picture. Move into a cabin and not to internet, getting rid of all internet, not doing, eating certain foods, or sitting on top of a pole. There was a time when they were called pole sitters, and they would sit on top of a pole thinking that that's what would please God. It's not asceticism. It is a denial of self that attaches no heart emotion, no meaning, no significance in the things of this world,
yeah,
or the approval of man.
The love of stuff and the fear of man are impediments to being a disciple.
You got to give those up. You got to deny self if you want to follow Jesus.
What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What's the answer to that one?
Nothing.
Nothing. And then he says, if you are ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Where does people pleasing get us if it keeps us out of the kingdom?
Nowhere.
You know what's amazing, too? I said this at church Sunday. We've got to get past this crazy thing that we do in the Christian church. And Christians do it as much as anyone else, and it's an epidemic today. We are trying to live for the approval of people who could give a rat's keister about us, guys. It is amazing. When we're gone, we're gone. The parade for most of us is very short.
Yeah,
I mean, we're gone. It's just astounding how much we live for the approval of others.
And the other big takeaway, at least for me yesterday, too, was the fact that self-denial is not the ticker tape we break at the end of the race. It's coming out of the gate.
Mm. Boom. That's a big one.
Yeah.
We look at self-denial, don't we, guys, as the pinnacle. We've arrived.
One day I'll get there.
Now we're super saints. Woo! Jesus said, no, no, this is how we get in the game. Mm-hmm. This is how you score points. This is how you get on the court.
Wow. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Amazing stuff. Okay, we're going to put our track shoes on because coming up here in a moment, we want to give you four of these this week, and we're going to unleash this one for today. I know we got a little bit of a late start with Martin Luther King Day. We had a kind of a best of plan, but that was a phenomenal day. So we're going to catch up ground here quickly. And on this beautiful Wednesday, we are going to tackle the second of four characteristics that we're going to be unleashing. This one is found in John 13. If you got a Bible, get ready to go because that's coming up straight ahead.
Go back and listen to your favorite episodes with the Carl and Crew Showcast. Just text SHOW to 312-274-9624.
All righty now. Here we go. We're into it, man. I love this. How do you know? How do you know? By the way, we were having some fun with this yesterday, and Allie slipped up because she just had a Whitney Houston song in her heart, and this is what it sounded like.
How do I know?
You,
so good,
you nailed the notes. Oh. You really did. Let's go again.
How do I know?
You know, we should probably dub in some drum beats underneath that thing.
That sounds like a good idea. We could also play a little bit with the hot keys and do this.
How do I know?
Quack.
Why do you keep doing this?
I don't know.
This is
because he can. Clipping these little things that I say in the course of 4 hours and then using it against me.
Yes,
I'm going to make a whole page of little audio clips of Allie saying things that she doesn't want repeated. And then it's going to be like this.
How do I know?
Quack.
Wow.
How do I know and quack are the two that I'm going to start with.
Yeah, they're great. There we go. Appreciate that.
Thanks for that.
So how do we know we're disciples of Christ? We just kind of retraced yesterday, and that was, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. That's a powerful phrase, and what an image we're getting here. But I want to have some fun with this one, because we find our second one here today. It's in John 13, and I'm going to sing the first part of what has become, I thought this was a well-known old song, but the old should have been a tip to me that my young partners here maybe wouldn't know it.
Mm. Give it to us.
I'm going to let you guys finish it.
Okay.
Okay.
A new commandment I give unto you that you
Go and make disciples one by one.
Okay.
Love me.
Is that it? Were we close?
No. Read your Bible and pray every day.
Pray every day.
I am a CH.
All right. I'm going to go back to the Word of God here.
Any of those?
Some of the boom crew that actually knows this song is going...
They're putting cringing.
Hand to face right now moment. Oh,
So what is it?
Okay, here it is. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. But then the verse goes on. Mm-hmm. It goes on to verse 35. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
That's it.
So it's it actually is really cool music. Obviously not doing it justice.
It's right out of scripture.
It is scripture.
It is scripture, yeah.
John 13, 34 through 35.
Why don't you read it?
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
This is awesome. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes we've turned these things into songs and not turned them into lifestyles.
Right.
But here we've got a classic example of one of the four most explicit ways that Jesus describes discipleship. Mark 8. If you want to come after me, deny yourself. John 13, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love each other is paramount. It's one of the greatest descriptors of being a disciple of Jesus.
So this is love, the love one another. This would be fellow believers.
Yeah, this would definitely be fellow believers. This is loving people that are on this path with Jesus. As a matter of fact, if by this all people will know that you are my disciples, one of the greatest markers of discipleship is love for other people that are on the same path.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. This should cause anyone to drop dead in their tracks if they feel like, wow, I don't know that I love others the way that God loved us.
Can I take it up a notch?
Yeah.
Okay, so we start with this question. How do you know what a disciple of Christ really looks like? Deny self yesterday, today love one another. How do you know that you love one another?
That's a great word, because sometimes we'll say, well, I love all people.
I think most people would say that. Yeah. Oh, I love people.
Here's the problem with that statement, guys, and it's going to be a hard hitting one. Love here is, ready for this?
What's that?
A verb.
It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling.
Not a noun. It's not an emotion. It's a verb. In fact, there was a song. Didn't the Newsboys sing "Love Is a Verb"? Or something like that.
I don't know.
Way back in the day. We'll have to check on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
But love is a verb, guys. So the question is, what's this look like? Now we're going to spend some time drilling down on this, because by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
That discussion coming up.
Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, put on your listening ears. It's time for Boom Kids!
How do you know that you love someone?
When we give them kisses, hugging them, giving them some cards.
Maybe drawing a picture for them.
You feel emotions for them.
That you do something for them.
That you're kind to them and loving to them.
Help them out when they get hurt or something.
I think that, like, you spend time with that person a lot and you have a good relation with them.
When they're kind to me, then I just feel love for them.
So when you love some, you have a good relationship with them and you kind of feel it too. Like, you feel like I don't know how to explain it.
It's hard to explain, right? Because it's like a feeling. But how do you explain that feeling, right?
Love it. Very insightful, our good Boom Kids from Naperville Christian Academy, asking this good question, answering a good question. How do you know that you love someone?
Love it. So we were looking around for this. I thought it was the Newsboys, but we can't find them doing a specific song. I think they did Love is a Verb tour or something. They came through Little Rock many, many years ago, before most of you were born, but that's okay. I'll get over that. But there is a more contemporary artist who does not claim to be a Christian artist at all. He doesn't claim to be a theologian or a pastor, but he actually got some good theology here going.
This song is John Mayer, Love is a Verb. Love is a verb. It ain't a thing. It's not something you own. It's not something you scream.
I don't know if I've heard it, so let's take a listen right now. Give it to us, Young Thunder. I know I haven't heard it yet. No.
Little country.
Yeah, it is.
Music video makes it look like he's driving through Alaska.
Love is a verb. It ain't a thing.
It ain't a thing.
It's not something you hold. It's not something you scream.
That's great.
When you show me love, I don't need your words. Yeah, love ain't a thing. Love is a verb. Love ain't a thing. Love is a verb.
He got it right.
Yeah.
I mean, he nailed it. Come
wow.
on.
Wow. Interesting. I'd not heard that song, but it's pretty accurate.
You nailed it. Guys, this what he's singing comes right out of, whether he knows it or not, Matthew 13.
John 13, 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Yeah, and this is a new commandment that he gave to them, this loving one another. Now, you asked a question, Allie, here a little bit ago, and we want to answer it right now. Coming up in a moment, we want you to think, Boom Crew, and I mean think about this, and then I'm going to ask the team here the answer to this question. If love is a verb, what does love look like?
Yeah.
How do we validate that we're truly disciples of Jesus?
Same thing I asked the Boom Kids. How do you know that you love someone? How do you know that you're loving one another the sense that it's talking about here in John 13?
A great word. Love it. That's coming up.
Helping you start your day with a boom. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
You got that right. We're off and running. We're boommeistering today.
What does that mean?
Boommeister.
What's a boommeister?
New well, word.
You know what a boommeister is.
Like the master of boom?
Masters of boom.
Ooh, that sounds like an awesome like league, you know? Like we are the masters of boom.
You know what?
Yeah.
We need to have the Boommeister Club.
Okay.
The Isn't... masters of boom.
Oh, my.
Because I can't get away from triple boom, but we could have right. The boom meisters.
When we have like a super amazing story come in, you go, yeah. You know what you are, sir? You're a boom meister.
The master of
wow.
boom. Allie, what do we got here?
Well, our first look for charity giveaway. This is a really cool black tie event that happens on the eve of the opening of the nation's largest auto show that happens here in our city. We are partnering with Mark Ward of Barrington Buick GMC to send a ministry leader plus three guests to this black tie event to support Lydia Home. That's the charity that we are partnering with. If you want to be eligible for this giveaway, ministry leader could be anyone serving in any leadership capacity in a local church. You could be leading a small group. You could be leading the children's ministry. You could be a volunteer leader, a leader of the ushers, whatever it is. If you're a ministry leader, and we'll leave that for you to decide, you're eligible to win this. So just text the word LOOK, and we'll get you the entry form and all the details. Text the word LOOK to 312-274-9624. Text LOOK to 312-274-9624.
Okay, guys, we're tackling a hot topic here today. What in the world does love look like? And this is fun because I think we look at love and sometimes let me give you an ugly form of love. If you got more ugly forms of love, let's get it. But the kind of love where you have pity on people.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
That's an ugly kind of love.
So like look kind of, it's kind of, I'm up
well,
here and,
yeah, and
bless your heart.
Bless your heart. We want to help you.
It's that word pity.
My husband and I, my wife and I, we want to help you.
Okay.
We love to love the lowly among us.
Mm. Okay. Now, what's the real heart attitude behind that? Because doing those things aren't bad things, but what's the heart attitude?
You're right.
It?
Because listen, sometimes it's the right thing to do. My bride and I have definitely loved people that were down and out.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's the old term. It's one beggar telling another one where to find bread. It's not you telling them how much you've gotten bread. It's mm-hmm. this.
Okay.
Co-humility. It's like, wow, you're in a humble position and I'm humble enough to see it. Mm. By God's grace, I get to help.
Yeah.
There's almost like a sense of pride in it.
Yeah. And that's deadly.
Yeah.
Because love, I mean, I've shared this once before here, just flashed into my head. I was a new follower of Jesus and I got onto this. I got into a conversation with a few guys and this one guy, I was just excited about the Lord and just popped up. And he said in this group of guys that was standing there, he says, you know what, guys? He said, I've learned that I've had to kind of establish a new kind of small group approach. My wife and I used to kind of go into a church and find any old small group, but we found that we have a certain net worth and we couldn't relate to a lot of the people that were in that group. So we've decided we're going to find people with like net worth so that we can connect with them. Honest to God story.
Wow. Hmm. Interesting.
And I walked away from that as a young follower. And I had a guy put his arm around me and he said, that's not discipleship. Mm. I just need you to know that, Carl. That's something different.
Wow.
It was a holy moment.
Yeah.
What did you think when I said that even?
It's just kind of cringy.
Mm-hmm. It's cringy as a good word.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Love is so different than that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Love is no respecter of persons. It strips down all the facade of this world.
And if we go back to scripture, I mean, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, gives us such a great definition. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Wow. There you go. Go into the scripture, the love chapter. That's called 1 Corinthians 13. If you're a new follower, just check that out. Great descriptor. Notice how lowly that is, as in on our faces.
Yeah. I mean, the example that you gave of kind of like, we want to help you. We have a lot. You have a little. We want to give you a little bit. I mean, love does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think our churches could grow a lot in this, couldn't we, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What keeps us from loving? By this will all men know that you are my disciples when you love one another. What keeps the church from loving?
I think sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's frustrating. Mm. If it's patient, then you gotta. Opportunities in which patience is required.
That's a great statement.
Yeah,
I'm gonna steal that one in my message
Go
on
for
Sunday.
It. That's yours.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think that's true. So, what's love look like then, Allie? Come on, you're the one that came up with this hot topic. What's it look like?
This description is so clear out of 1 Corinthians 13. It's a patience with people. It's a kindness when it's not earned. It's a trusting and protecting. It's an honoring of people, regardless of what they can do for you, regardless of what they've done to you.
Man, this is great. You know, I think the love chapter is clearly a definition of a new kind of love. It's certainly not self-seeking.
No. There's no self in this. I mean, self is removed. In order to love people, self has to be removed. Back to what we talked about yesterday, denying self.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, speaking of that, come on up. We're going to recap these, and then we're going to set the deck for, and I want you to begin thinking about this. When did you see the body of Christ loving each other like nobody's business? And it's like, woo, look at this. going to be tackling that one at the top of the next hour, but we want you to think about that right now. Coming up here, straight ahead, we're going to recap. Where have we been? You might have just joined us. It's like, hey, you, how do you know we're disciples of Christ? We got two big ones. We're going to go back to yesterday's, hit today's, set the deck for the top of the hour coming up straight ahead.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Alrighty then, it's Carl and Crew Mornings. We're off to the races here today, guys.
You kind of sounded like a pirate there.
What was that? Alrighty then.
We're back to that again.
Yeah. You want to be a pirate? What do you want? What's required to be a pirate? How do you know a guy's a pirate?
He's got a patch and a parrot. And a hook.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are too predictable. Come on, not every guy has a patch and a parrot and a hook.
And a plank.
A plank.
You got a ship.
You got a ship.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
sure.
Come on, guys.
You spend a lot of time on the water.
You're going into Johnny Depp land. Don't stop me doing that.
I mean, those are my only, that's my only frame of reference for pirates. I've never met one.
That's fair.
You work with one every day, might I.
Yes.
We do?
What?
It's not my contract.
How did I walk into that one?
Grab that there little...
Carl.
Grab that there little block and tackle, and you go up the old mainsail. I want you to repair it up there, Ally Meister, and then come back.
Welcome to Moody Radio, where you're listening to Carl and Lads.
Carl and Lads.
So how do you know that you're a pirate?
How do you know you're a pirate?
That's where we're at. Get us back on track, please, pirate. Captain Hook.
Well, how do you know you're a pirate? Come on, you got a ship.
You usually, well, I guess if you're the captain of the ship, you have the name Captain.
Captain.
You speak in funny voices.
You swab the deck.
No, you make others swab the deck.
Yeah, you don't.
Well, if you're the captain, but a pirate can still swab the deck.
Hold on a second. No.
What?
No, you've not seen Johnny Depp.
No, I have. Well, I've seen, a long time ago.
No,
you haven't seen
pirates,
pirate movies.
Pirates don't swab the deck. The slaves
no.
do. The ones that they've conquered.
A pirate is a person who attacks and robs ships at sea.
Yes.
By definition.
By the way, I have pirates in my heritage.
Nice.
Because I'm a Swede.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know this?
Pirated. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We pirated the high seas. I mean, they're going to be distant relatives. They might be close. I mean, I got good sea legs. I don't turn green when I get out on the water. So maybe my ancestors were, in fact, pirates.
Who knows?
Good old Redbeard. Arr.
All right.
All right. So.
Yes.
Anywho. We got two passages of scripture that describe, how do you know you're a disciple? I'm sorry, but that was too much fun.
Oh, man. Okay. So where do you want me to
crying.
Go? Where do you want me to go?
Well, we want to recap.
Okay.
Mark 8, and then let's introduce the new John 13.
Got
Take it away, Allie.
Mark 8, 34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So yesterday we talked about this first characteristic of a disciple, self-denial.
Yeah, and it is awesome. Guys, this gives us a picture of self-denial that is amazing, and it shows that self-denial is not the pinnacle, it's the prerequisite. It's the entry point. Okay, next passage.
John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Pretty clear, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here is what I'm asking you today. What in the world does this look like? Have you ever seen, I want you to think about this. Don't call in yet, but I want you to think and cogitate on this one right now. Have you ever seen, we want stories of love in motion, all right? Love in motion, where, I mean, it was like, wow, that was love. Now, be careful with this. Make sure that this isn't some, make sure it's not self-aggrandizing, first off. So tell it about someone else, probably.
Yes, someone loved you in this way you see described in John 13. They loved you as they loved themselves. Their love for you put on display that they really are a disciple of Christ. That's the kind of love that we're looking for.
Think about it. We'll be getting your stories coming up. Arr! We're talking about this.
Had to throw that in one more time.
I just had to.
Get it out. Get it all out.
You know why I like to do this? Because Allie starts crying in here.
Why do I cry when I laugh? But you just told me that I come to work every day with a pirate. I just, it's hard to move past that.
Yeah, she comes to work every day.
You work with one every day. Well. Okay.
What do you say to that?
I don't know. I don't know.
More of this craziness coming up.
Carl and Crew is your show, Boom Crew. Let your voice be heard. Give us a call at 312-274-9624.
Guys, line it up. Taking your calls. We got 8 lines available out of the 10 that we have. Yeah, do the math. That means we got 80% capacity. We're ready for you right now. We're taking stories on this. Love is a verb, man. It just comes right out of this, the very message of Jesus. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, boy, you're right, Allie. He repeats this love for one another 4 times in 2 verses.
Yeah.
By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, one of the distinguishing characteristics of authentic discipleship is your love for each other. And by the way, this is motion, guys. It puts it in motion. It's not a matter of, I know, it's easy. Love takes time.
It does.
It's an investment. It takes you out of your routine. I've got my T7R day planner in front of me here. It takes you out of your day planner regime at times.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And it causes you to have to call audibles and things that have to change in your life, because love is a verb. But it's one of the greatest ways we put really authentic discipleship on display. Let's go to the phone lines.
Yeah, we're asking you this question. Who put Christ on display by the way that they loved you? Kelly from Mundelein, give us your story.
Yeah, hi. So I grew up in the church, and, you know, a mainline church, and I didn't, a little backstory. So I didn't realize that that I wasn't a Christian. And I found the Lord when I was a young adult at a Bible-believing church. But of course, I had been walking in sin, and but because I had grown up in the church, I knew a lot of churchies. I had read the Bible. I knew the Bible to a certain degree.
Sure.
But it wasn't applying it to my life. And anyway, I ended up, God radically changed me when I got saved, but he also allowed me to stumble in certain ways to show me that I needed to grow and give up more for him.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting pregnant, and I wasn't married. And so because I had been in leadership at the church, because I had this good face on me, I ended up being asked to confess my sin in front of this very large young adults group that we had. And I also was part of a small group. Well, I did, because I felt that was appropriate. And so I got up that day and I confessed my sin. And of course, I was horribly ashamed, and I ran out in tears. And my whole small group that I was part of ran out after me, and they surrounded me, and they prayed for me, and they encouraged me, and they encouraged me the whole walk while I was expecting. And it ended up that, and I would have probably walked away from the Lord if they hadn't been so encouraging and supportive, because Satan was really chatting in my head a lot. But the day that my girls were born, they ended up coming to the hospital, all of them, and they were there when I gave birth, and they actually were allowed into the room where they cleaned them up, and the nurses took them away, and it was amazing how much they supported me through all this. It was they really showed the love of Christ and kept me on the right path.
Wow, Kelly, thank you so much for calling in to share your story this morning.
You know, that's real, I got to tell you. I have one caveat on that one that I want to share as a pastor, and I really mean this. Kelly, your response to that and going up front and sharing it is huge. You know, one of the things that we are called to do is to bring accountability into people's lives and to come clean with one another. I particularly happen to believe, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Kelly from Mundelein, what an incredible example of a gracious woman who responded in a gracious way. But when we challenge people like that, that are living in those ways, this is the spiritual principle of confronting sin and dealing with it that we find in Matthew 18. The principle is to keep the circle as small as possible to evoke real change. So you find actually if somebody sinned against you, go to them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Then if they don't turn, bring in another. Then if they don't turn, then go to the church. But even the church referred to in Matthew 18 does not mean that you go before thousands of people. You've got to look at the context of the situation. That small group that ran out to her to embrace her, I think biblically, that's the group that had a fair shot at hearing from her.
Yeah.
You know, bringing in, and I mean this very tenderheartedly, but I need you to hear me right now. The goal of confrontation of sin isn't to shame people. It's restoration. And the best way to restore is through the immediate context of relationships of people that know that person. This is why I am not a big proponent of marching people up on a Sunday morning and going, hey, we're church disciplining you. No way. No way. That's a public synagogue type situation. Home church, smaller circles of influence, people that know them. Why would you drag 80% of the audience into a situation that they don't even know anything about? But they're, you know, that's another topic for another time. I'm sharing that from a pastor's heart. But I got to tell you, Kelly's response to that situation and the response of that small group to
that
her.
That kind of love.
Ooh, that's radical. Michelle, give it to us, sister. What do you got?
Hey, good morning. Grace and peace.
To you too.
As you were telling the story, I was pricked with something that happened to me. I was in my late 20s, and I was a young Christian, newly saved, toting my Bible everywhere with me. However, I was pregnant. I was on my way to get an abortion. I had my abortion. I'm in the recovery room, and the nurse comes to me, and she said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, no, baby, real soft, not judgmental. She said, no, baby. She said, if you were, you wouldn't have did what you did. But God loves you anyway. She said, I want you to read Psalms 51. I looked at that story, and I shared it a couple times, forgot about it. But today, as I was listening to your story, the love of God is what we need to display. Mm. And I remember in my deepest, darkest, painful, shameful place, this woman was there as an angel of God to point me back to God, to not let me waddle in what I did I knew was wrong. But I use that to go back to those that no matter how dirty you are, no matter how stinky you are, I always say there's no wasted experience. And so that story, it just popped up again in hearing your story today. Love is action.
Love
is action.
Oh, Michelle, I love you, sister. Wow, what a story, and thank you for sharing your heart. I know that that's even difficult, but, you know, what's interesting is that love isn't always easy.
No.
It's not, and love is not soft. This nurse comes up to her, hit her hard, but obviously spirit-led, because it caused Michelle to go to Psalm 51. If you are wrestling with shame or pain of choices of the past that are devastating your soul, Psalm 51 is the place to camp out.
Yeah.
Camp out. Michelle, we love you, sister. Boom, sister. That's why we call you Boom Crew here, because those kind of testimonies, they reverberate like a boom does in a city. It reverberates in the souls of mankind. Way to go, Michelle.
And it's such proof, like you said, that love is challenging. Sometimes love is maybe a little bit messy. I can imagine that conversation probably wasn't neat and tidy. That's a difficult conversation.
It's a great way to put it.
But love was kind of the foundation of it, the love of Christ and the genuine love one for another.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing else to add. Michelle, what a woman of God, huh? What a woman of God that she can call in, lay that out there, no shame. She is so clearly identified with the love of God now. Whew! Coming up, minute and a half. Take more of your stories.
Get more from your morning show. Check us out on social media.
Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
We've got a giveaway that's for ministry leaders. If you are a leader in your church in some capacity, could be a pastor, but not necessarily. Maybe you help lead worship. You help lead a children's ministry. If you are a ministry leader.
Leader, right?
Leader.
That's the key word.
Key word is leader.
Yeah. There's a group of people that consider you their leader.
Yes. If that is you, we want to pick a ministry leader and three guests to send to the First Look for Charity, which is a black tie event that happens at the nation's largest auto show that happens here in our city. It's a black tie event that happens on the eve of the opening, so you get kind of the exclusive access, go to a fun party, and it benefits charity, see the cars, have some great food. We want you to apply. We're going to pick one ministry leader. You're going to get four tickets and a little bit of spending money to help you get glam for the event. Just text the word LOOK to 312-274-9624. Text LOOK to 312-274-9624.
Talking about characteristics of disciples, how do you know someone's a disciple? Well, according to Jesus, by their love. If you have love for one another, you are putting on display discipleship. Now, love is a verb. We're going to get into a John Mayer song in just a moment. Some of you are like, we're going to play John Mayer here? Yeah, we're going to play John Mayer here because he actually captured this in a big way. But first, Bert in Oak Park. Give us your story, my man.
Hey, thanks so much. My God, these testimonies got me on fire this
morning. Aren't kidding. You aren't kidding.
Man, seriously. Ooh, we serve a good God.
Yeah,
hey,
we do.
My story is this real quick. So I was in a work setting and was searching for God, you know, leaving a denomination, trying to understand who he is and what he does and all of that, and had been reading some crazy books, one which told me you can see people's auras. So happened to mention that to a cohort who looked at me and said, you need to go to Bible study, is what we need to do.
Yeah. Aura Shmora, baby.
Let's get you in Bible study.
That's great.
So,
what
yeah,
happened?
So
what happened,
Bible
Bert?
Study. Yeah, yeah. So we have a work Bible study, and just bless her heart, the sister, she ministered the word of God to me after this one study, asked me, what was I really seeking? I said, just to understand God. So she gave me Matthew 6:33. Which basically is seek God and all his righteousness, and he'll add all these things unto you, paraphrasing, right?
Yeah.
So that was the day I got saved, and had she not told me you need to go to Bible study and sat with me afterwards to minister the love of God to me, I wouldn't be calling you right now.
Wow, Bert, Oak Park. Boom, brother. That's
so
what we're
great.
Talking about. Yeah, I'm studying a book on aura. You really need to go to a Bible study.
Isn't that crazy? Let me help you out here.
I mean, You can study aura all day long and even have some shmoras by a fireside, and
yeah.
It ain't much going to happen there. I'm telling you, that is cool. So we're asking you, what's your story? Tanya in Chicago, what's the love of Jesus look like in a true disciple? You got a story?
I do. I'm not sure if you can hear me, and if you can, I just want to first start by saying thank you all for the beauty that you bring to my life every morning.
Thank you, Tanya. From the bottom of our heart, we appreciate that, sister. Give us your story.
So my story is simple. Back in the day, I was in my 20s, and we were driving to Michigan because a friend of mine, close friend of mine, we were a group of friends, ended up in jail. We decided that it was a situation that we needed to go and see him because it was urgent. We knew that we needed to motivate him, and we needed to do it quickly. We weren't Christians. We were just kids thinking that we were doing the right thing. So long story short, the minute I saw him when we walked in, he looked straight at me, and there was something about his look that was different. And I looked at him. I said, what is different about you? And he said, Jesus. Now, my first response was, is this a cellmate? What's going on? And he looked at me and says, no, this is Jesus, not a jailhouse Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. And he went on. And he looked at me and he said, and he has a calling for your life, and you need to serve him. And he just started to speak to me in these words that didn't make sense to my head, but my heart received it. And I began to weep. And I remembered how I grew up in a charismatic Catholic church and how everybody looked at me weird because I was 5 years old worshiping the Lord in a way that was different. And so after he said all that, my words were simple, and then I couldn't speak anymore. I said, we came to visit you because you were in jail, but I just realized that I'm the one in jail and you're free.
Oh.
And that changed my life.
Boom.
That changed my life completely. But much like you, Carl, he knows my heart and he knows my friend. He knows that he impacted me. And from there, I became a youth pastor and I was able to serve the Lord in ministry for years. And he was able to see that before he went to the Lord.
Oh,
but he's with the Lord now.
Yeah.
And I know one day I'll see him again and we'll continue our fellowship. But until then, I take with me his heart and the seed that he planted and everybody else throughout the years that watered. But I thank you for allowing me to share the story.
Oh, Tanya, you're so welcome.
Wow.
That's why we call you the Boom Crew.
Triple boom.
Woo! Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.